Hey guys, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Remy.
I'm Kevin.
And this is Percussion Perspective, episode like 21, I think, which is not nearly as cool as 20, but it is one more than 21. So you should be slightly more impressed than you were last episode, hopefully. Today we're talking about choosing high school percussion solo lit, which is short for literature. There's a lot to talk about today. A lot of stuff, and we're just going to try and hit the highlights. I mean, we both came from, you know, the same college, a lot of the same schools of thought as far as percussion pedagogy. And so we're going to talk about this. I bet a lot of our solos are, you know, similar or the same. We probably have similar lists just because we're taught by the same person. But yeah, how's it going, dude?
It's going good. We're kind of back after Thanksgiving break, and it's kind of interesting because we have to go 3 more weeks and then we have Christmas break again. But within all of that is a lot of stuff. I'm sure that you have the same, like we have basketball games and concerts and more concerts and recruitment stuff for fifth graders. So do you guys have kind of a lot of stuff in between the two holidays?
Yeah, we both just judged Allstate this last weekend.
Yeah, we did.
Each got a percussionist in the Allstate band, so that's cool.
Yeah, because I feel like if we didn't, we probably would have just had to end this.
Maybe.
Not good enough to have a podcast. But yeah, we each had a kid make it. You had a senior, right? Is he a senior?
Yeah, he's a senior. But he's a 3-year now, so.
Woo! Yeah, good for him. That's awesome. Yeah, you had a kid make, what did he make?
Third chair wind ensemble.
Nice. Mine made first chair. I'm kidding. Third chair, second band.
Yeah, sim band.
Sim band.
The Allstate band in Oklahoma is, you know, crazy competitive, really, really good. So even to make, you know, the final round, which is like if you're listening in a different state, I don't know, like the one person from a different state. And then one person in Oklahoma. So there's one person in Oklahoma that listens and then one person in another state. They take, you know, however many there were. You judged prelims, so you had like 66 kids in your room.
Times
and then
two.
There was, there's two sets of rooms. So there's like over 120 kids. And then they pare that down to 30 for finals. I was judging in one of the final rooms, and it is hard to tell a difference between a lot of those kids, you know, just the scores. It's pretty brutal. So to make it in the top 30 is a pretty big deal. And then even to make the band after that is even cooler. So, but yeah, you know, that was a big thing. Obviously I'm glad that that's done because that means I don't have to teach the same 3 or 4 etudes over and over and over and over and over to all the kids that are auditioning. Glad that's done. We do have, a big concert this Friday. We call them all city concerts. So it's like 7 through 12 play like just a giant Christmas concert all together. It's quite a spectacle to watch and get everybody moving through the concert hall. And then we're going to Italy over the break. And so we are having rehearsals for that for the students that are going to march in it's like the World Day of Peace parade in Vatican City. Something to do with the Pope and peace, and he gives a blessing or something at the end of the parade. I'm not really sure.
Interesting.
But yeah, we were invited to play at that. And so we're having rehearsals for that right now. But yeah, we luckily don't have to play at basketball games at the school that I am at. And so that's one less thing that is, you know, on your schedule that is not on my schedule. But yeah, plenty to do right now.
Yeah, it's a lot. So, we're going to jump into some solos. Just one thing about
next week.
we are going to talk about a lot of solos. I think we'll go down the row of just like snare, mallets, and timpani, kind of just in that general order. And, like Remy said, these are going to be like highlights, kind of the things that we know that we've had success with students. And we were talking before we started to record. I'm sure we will have, you know, an updated episode when we kind of have another year of finding out new material, new literature, and we'll kind of just slowly keep throwing more information about solo pieces to you guys. So hopefully you enjoy this. And again, this kind of goes off of what we talked about in the middle school episode, I think, where it is still just important that your kids are playing something. So a lot of this stuff is tailored to that same idea of like, make sure your kids are just playing something. It doesn't necessarily matter what it is, but that can also not be true if you know, by the time they're in high school, they want to be really focused on achieving like a new skill, a new set of rudiments, or learning four mallets, or progressing on timpani, or whatever it is. So you do kind of more focus on what the specific student needs and wants to get better at and stuff like that. So I think a lot of that can be taken into consideration more so than when you were picking middle school solos, if you listen to last week's episode or last 2 weeks episode.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I wasn't 100% listening to you just then. I shared a note with you so that whatever we talk about today, I'm going to like keep track of the solos, and then we can like put those in the show notes for people.
Sure.
That way they don't have to like go back. But what I think,
wait, so like, you're trying to make them not listen to us more? Oh. I'm kidding. That's what show notes are for.
Email us and then we'll forward you the show notes. I kind of think, you know, like to go along with what he was saying, if I was listening halfway, don't be afraid to just be like, this is the solo you're playing. You know, like you should know where each one of your kids, where each one of your students are, and kind of like what their strengths and weaknesses are. And so if they're like a super good snare drum player, but really, really weak on, you know, marimba, and like maybe have never even done a four mallet solo, like don't hand them something out of like a Keiko Abe book or whatever. Like they need to do like a begin, even if a senior, like my senior year, I played one of the very first solos that I have on my marimba list, because I didn't have a full-time percussion director and I just didn't have people to teach me how to play four mallets until like I was auditioning for college. So yeah, don't be afraid to just hand your kid a solo and like, this is what you're playing. And if, you know, sometimes I have kids that do that and they're like, oh, but this kid played this last year and he's a freshman and I'm a senior. It's like, well, that kid is better at that than you, or that kid played several solos to lead up to that and you've never done this before. So you're going to start here. And if you learn it super quick and you come and play it and pass it off for me, then I'll give you something different. But I think you have to kind of walk a line between like, you know, making kids play things and like, but you also want it to be something that's going to be interesting to them. I do have students a lot of the time that I know we haven't even started talking about what we're supposed to talk about. I had a student yesterday, they were like working on something. And I was like, what is that? And they're like, oh, it's my marimba solo. And I'm like looking at it. I'm like, this is way too hard for you. And he's like, well, but I got 3 months until solo and ensemble. So anyway, he probably listens to this and is going to like be, you know, be like, oh man, that was me. But anyway, it's not that your kids can't do hard things. It's just like there's a logical progression in both of our minds, I think, if I just speak for you, Kevin. But I think there's a logical progression of like going through and kind of hitting, you know, an easy and then some intermediates and then trying in advance. You can't just go from, you know, solo one or two in the list all the way down to like some crazy difficult one written by Emmanuel Séjourné or whatever.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything. Yeah, especially it's like right after a percussion ensemble concert. If I've had some kids play solos, then my eighth graders or something are like, can I get the music to what that senior played last night?
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe, but probably not, you know? So,
The last thing I'll say on, you just reminded me when we were in, it was during undergrad, my wife, who's also a very good percussionist. She played Velocities by Schwantner, you know, crazy, hard, really awesome marimba piece. And there was like a ninth or 10th grade kid that we both taught, because like we both taught the Stillwater, you know, marching percussion, and he was in the front ensemble, and he's like wanted to learn velocities as like a 10th grade. And I was like, dude, you can't even play the packet. You can't even play the warm up packet. How are you? How do you expect to play this piece? So yeah, kids just hear things that are cool and they don't necessarily realize how difficult they are. And it's just like, you know, biting off more than you can chew. So anyway, all right, let's get into this. You want to start with some snare drum solos?
Yeah, let's do it. So
all right, you're first.
Okay. All right. So again, we're just going to hit some highlights real quick.
I got to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Oh, we're going to hit some highlights. And this first one I have is an overlap from last episode, from the last episode, but it's the 20 solos for the Young Snare Drummer by Kenan Wiley. This book is very, you could almost use this book to follow it up from like a sixth grader all the way up to like a mid high school, depending upon how much they, progress through rudiments and stuff like that. But some of the last solos in that, you know, Clean Out the Closet is one of them, and Last Chance and Sugar and Spice, which is a good one for like diddles and stuff like that, are still really good for some high schools, especially if maybe a kid did not progress very well in middle school and junior high and kind of got up into high school and was still struggling, or they're like still struggling to make the snare line or whatever it is, then these solos are still really good to just get the kids through rudiments and to make them better and to focus on tempo. And I think these solos flow really well out of the hands. So, you know, if you've got a kid that is past this, then I'll talk about another one, another book after that, that kind of progresses really well into more of those rudiments. But don't be afraid to go back to that 20 solos for the Young Snare Drum book for your high school kids that still need to progress.
Yeah, I would second that one. I mean, that's a really good, like you said, kind of a crossover. Really great for young and older kids that kind of just need some remediation. Mine might be, I'm sure it's on your list. It's The Rudimental Cookbook by Edward Freitag, I think is how you say it. I was watching a random interview with him. He did a video for somebody recently.
I don't know.
Like Majestic or something. Majestic came out with a new snare drum, and I think he did a video on it. Anyway, it just like popped up on my feed. But yeah, Freitag, I'm pretty sure. Rudimental Cookbook, it's orange, go Pokes. And it's a really, Kevin's showing it to me. Anyway, it's a really, really great. Is that the one you were going to talk about next?
I mean, it was on my list, but I knew stuff was going to overlap.
Well, to me, it's really similar to the Wiley book, just because there's a really good range. I don't know how many, you've got it with you. I don't know how many solos are in it. I mean,
give me a second.
Probably close to 20 or more. But it's great because it also has like some very just 25. There are 25 solos in it. Thank you. It's got some exercises at the beginning that kind of just apply to everything. Like if you just needed like a real easy rudimental packet, like I've made copies of, you know, the first few pages of that book and just given them out to like my eighth graders to kind of like, hey, you need to learn, you know, these six exercises to get ready for before you even learn the marching, like the percussion packet for high school. You just need
to go
through
these. We've never talked about that, but I literally do like almost exactly the same idea.
Yeah.
It's
just the very basic boiled down version of everybody's marching packet. It teaches them how to grid. It teaches them like, and in those grids, they learn diddles and flams and accents and all that stuff. So yeah, it's a really good one. And like the Rudimental Cookbook, it's like, here are the ingredients you need for your rudimental, you know, meal or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
The first couple solos, man, I've had a sixth grade play. Is it Hot Licks? Is that the very first one? I've had sixth graders play that one before that just like, you know, I mean, I've had them play it with like closed rolls, but I've also had them like some kids that are just like pretty good at doubles already. So the first couple, you could definitely have like sixth, seventh graders play the first handful of solos. But then I think the last one is And the Kitchen Sink. And that one's pretty tough. That one would definitely be like, you know, someone who has marched snare drum for a few years or marched quads for a few years. Anyway, so yeah, that's a really great one. That's a huge recommendation of mine.
Yeah, I played Odyssey 2 for my, like, I don't remember if I did it as a solo my senior year or if I did it as, I know I did it as my college audition. That's like the number, solo number 18.
And that, oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so like that's kind of a good level to be like for college auditions or senior year stuff, but getting toward the back of that book. But yeah, it's a great book. It literally like should be one of the books that you have as a band director or a percussion teacher when it comes to having solo material for your kids.
Yeah, even if you're not a percussion teacher, you like your program should have that one.
All right, I'm going to go from a method book to a little book or a collection of three snare solos. This is from Tap Space. This is called Developing, or it's called Elements and Time, and it is three snare solos for the developing drummer. So it's like three medium-level solos by Danny Raymond. And it's got three solos in it, Uncommon Ground, The Waco Kid, and Transformer. And they're like a minute 50 to 2.5 minutes of solos. And I mean, a lot of these things that we're going to recommend are all, I think we like them because they flow really well. And they include include a bunch of rudiments, because that's what you should look for when you have a snare solo. When you're looking for a snare solo, is rudiments. So I like this little book, and you get three solos in one. I've used the Waco Kid a lot. It's just got some good little rim stuff that you can use, and it's got lots of flams, and it goes from like duple to triplet rolls. So if a kid's struggling with triplet rolls, it's got a good thing for that. And then the last one, Transformer, in there kind of just has a lot more accent patterns and 16th notes, and it moves a little bit quicker. But I would recommend this little three pack of solos by Danny Raymond, because it's a 3-for-1, and you can probably get away with eighth grader using it. And then it's kind of more in that same level of like a developing kid. Like if they were going to use the Ken and Wiley book, then they would be able to grab one from this.
Yeah. And you said that's like another rudimental style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I don't know that one, so I'll have to check that one out. Let's see, the next one that I'm going to recommend, this is another older, well, Rudimental Cookbook's not super old, but this is definitely an older one. A lot of people just know this as the Wilcoxon book, but it's Charlie Wilcoxon, All American Drummer. It's got like 150 solos in it. All very rudimental. Some of them are really short. Some of them are just like half a page. Some of them are a full page. But again, it's like, it just has rudiments in it. And I think you'll see probably from both of our lists, most solo snare drum playing is going to be like rudimental, like rudimentally minded, I would say. I mean, is that fair to say?
Yeah.
As far as versus concert band playing. There are a couple things I have on my list, but if your kids are playing, or if your kids are auditioning for their honor bands and Allstate and things like that, and you know, as long as you're trying to get kids like in a rotation of playing a little bit of snare drum, a little bit of bass drum, a little bit of keyboard, a little bit of timpani, a little bit of auxiliary, like in their concert band music, they're all getting plenty of time on concert snare. And you know, even to be good at concert snare, you have to be good at rudiments. Like you just have to know how your hands work and know how things flow together. So I think most of our list is going to be rudimental minded. So yeah, this All American Drummer, like I said, 150 solos. I don't know if they really progressively get more difficult, but there's definitely easier ones than others. But it is cool because it's a way to show your kids like old school notation. So instead of, it doesn't use like slashes, like regular diddles. So it's not going to have like 4/16ths and a slash on the second 16th. It's going to have one teta and then a drag in between the eighth note and the first 16th. So you get, you know, zut, digga, dut, dut. And sounds the same, but it's just old school notation, and it's good for them to read through. It kind of makes them think a little bit differently. And so when I give kids stuff from that, they're usually kind of intrigued just because it looks different. And you can learn, you know, several of them kind of in a collection and then, you know, perform whatever. I would say if you're going to play one for a contest, definitely pick a longer one. Don't play one that's like 16 measures.
I was going to say, I bet even your judge, if, you know, if they're not like a stickler, you could be like, I'm going to perform three Wilcoxon solos.
Yeah. Like a little suite of them.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Something.
It's like a suite. I mean, if you did, yeah, if you didn't pick one of the long ones, then like, I'm going to play three of these or two of them or whatever. And they can kind of judge it as a multi-movement thing.
Yeah.
If you're a judge and you just say no to that, go away.
Get out.
But yeah, those are cool. Those are cool. And they kind of start off a little easy, I think. Cause if you look at number one and then you look at number 150, it definitely is progressing, but sometimes there'll be a random one in there that's like crazy hard to get through. And some you can just sight read like crazy. So, okay. Yeah, that's a good one. My next one is the Vic Firth solo snare drummer. Obviously written by Vic Firth. I haven't used too many of the solos out of this because I would say that this book is still very closely related to like what you would see for like an Allstate type of material. Like they're not gonna groove like the Rudimental Cookbook are. Rudimental Cookbooks is. I've been really bad with grammar.
Rudimental Cookbook B.
Okay. Was. Okay. But yeah, it's got a good selection in there. I typically will pass out like number one at least to one kid every year just because it's kind of a good solo. It kind of has some little 6/8 stuff it goes back and forth to, and it's still
that
like
one, that's one like 3/4/6/8, right? Like going back and forth between 3/4 and 6/8. If I can't remember that one off the top of my head.
It's like the big it up roll da 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 dig it up
zig it dig
flam chup, flam dig it dig it. So I guess that one does groove a little bit.
Yeah, I love that one. But so, some of them, I bet that was not together at all, and the listeners just like someone just had a stroke.
Yeah,
in their car.
Strokes aren't funny, by the way.
Yeah, call 911.
Anyway, but yeah, the Vic Firth solo snare drummer book has got some good stuff in it. And yeah. It's good to use for solos. I mean, I know that's what we're talking about, but that's pretty much all I have to say about it. It's got some good stuff in it. I haven't really used much of the back end of it. But yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a great one. That's the very first thing that our teacher in college has you play through, and like play through the entire book. There's like what, 20 something, 25, 26, 24. Anyway, I remember the last few just like being ridiculously difficult, but it is cool. It's kind of like, in my mind, that's a hybrid book between concert and rudimental. It's a very like, it's a concert snare book that is very rudimentally minded. Okay, cool. Next one I've got. Is where'd my list go? Oh no. Okay, here we go. 6 Unaccompanied Solos for Snare Drum by Michael Colgrass. Have you ever heard that? This is a collection. You've got it?
No, I don't. I mean, I've heard of it, but I've never played anything out of it.
It's really cool. It's got a pretty wide range of it, just like techniques. It's similar to like a concert snare book. It uses like the trill, you know, like the De La Cluse book does for rolls and things like that. But it's cool. It's got like some different playing zones where you're like, it's got like the, you know, stems up, stems down, where like your left hand's playing in the center of the drum and your right hand is playing on a rim or your right hand's playing on the edge. You're getting like some extra sound and some extended technique. That one I would say, be kind of like medium to advanced. But there are some really cool things in that. I have given a couple of those, you know, movements or solos or whatever you want to call them. Given a couple of those to some high school kids, that were ready for something like a little bit more musical. This would be getting into that advanced thing. Like I said, there's some extended techniques and just some kind of choppy stuff.
Yeah. And that's where it can really get into the, like, that stuff's pretty rhythmically crazy, right?
Yeah, it does have like some polyrhythms and a lot of just going back and forth between different subdivisions.
Yeah.
And super dynamic, like really, really great for dynamics, like real fast dynamic changes.
Yeah.
Because it's, to me, that's one of the coolest things about percussion is it's like almost infinitely dynamic. You know, you can play insanely loud and then you can also play insanely soft.
Yeah, or insanely medium.
Medium and insanely mid, and all insanely of insanely mezzo.
Yeah. The next one I have, I had a kid play this 2 years ago. It's another Danny Raymond. That guy's killing it on Tap Space. But it's called The Guardsman, and it's another like single purchase solo. But it's a solo for, it says rope tension snare drum.
Oh yeah. Okay. I think, yeah, I've heard this one.
Not that you have to play it on that, but I mean, if you've got one, it's cool. But yeah, it's just like a, it's a level medium, and he's included four, warm-up exercises. So kind of like you learn these exercises, you've essentially learned what you need to learn for the solo. You just put it together, and it's got an accompaniment by a bass drum. So like, that's kind of just to have that little groove, so you can play it with that bass drum or probably not. I don't think I had the kid play it with a bass drum. But, yeah, again, very rudimental, open rolls. I think it has some visual, cool little visual things in it. Actually, it doesn't at all, so I just made that up. But, yeah, lots of flamey things, lots of triplets, tap drags, stuff like that. It's a good one. And I was going to say something else about it. Can't remember, but it's a good one. And it's, again, just a single one from Tap Space, but it's a good one. The kid I had who played this one enjoyed it.
Yeah, cool. I'll have to check that one out too. I have heard, I don't know if I've heard someone or if I just remember that name, The Guardsman, you said, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, getting to the end of maybe what we should talk about before we move on. So this is probably one of the most popular rudimental books. It's 14 Modern Contest Solos by John S. Pratt. And if anyone ever just says the Pratt book, that's what they're talking about. If you've never seen it, it has a really sick picture of John Pratt, you know, like in his like, I don't know if it's like a marching band or a military band. It looks like just a marching band uniform from like the 60s, 50s or 60s. Can't remember when this book was written. Maybe I can look it up here in a second when Kevin's talking. But it's obviously 14 solos, and it does move from, I would say this starts at medium. Like, you're not going to hand this to a seventh or an eighth grader, most likely. This would be a medium to advanced. And I played all out of this book, you know, my last few years of high school. And I'm trying to think, like, one of the very first ones might be like Hodgepodge or Ginger Snap. Some, yeah, of those are pretty cool. Yeah. You know, it's really good about teaching you like the 6/8, like chuck to chuck to chuck it to chuck it to, lots of flam stuff, lots of drags and paradiddle rudiments and flamacues and radimacues and double radimacues and triple, you know, it's like very old school, really fun to play. And then, you know, like Guidepost and My Friend Norman at the end are, yeah, like pretty choppy, pretty difficult.
Yeah, I think that those are cool to give out because they're just like kind of old style. It says this book was originally printed in 1959.
Okay. What did I say, 50s or 60s? But wow, had been written, nailed it.
Yeah, but had been written by the author since 1949.
Yeah.
So they go back. Yeah, I've got that book too. That one's great.
And then I will add right here, there's one called The New Pratt Book. And it was, I don't know how much later it was published, but it's got another handful. I don't have this one, but I know that it exists. I should probably get it. But it's very, you know, I think it's very similar style, I would assume. You kind of know when a Pratt solo is being played, just because of the style. It's pretty close to the All-American Drummer, but these are definitely like standalone solos that are, you know, at least minute and a half, 2 minutes. It's like you definitely take these to contest. So that's a book that is definitely worth, if you're a percussion director or, again, just a music educator in charge of percussionists, then you should have this book.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to actually get into that one more. I know I have it, but it hasn't been something I've looked into for kids as often. So I'm going to throw this book.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to. Well, OK. I hear your dog. If I were to say like the two books you should get, it would be the Rudimental Cookbook and the 14 Modern Contest Solos. Those are the two that I end up using the most often that cover the most kids.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I have also used the Whaley Musical Studies for the Intermediate Snare Drummer book. It's kind of more etude / like just practicing rhythms than it is like a solo. But if you kind of had a kid who you needed to give something pretty basic to that didn't have too many rudiments, but just had maybe a bunch of rhythms with a bunch of dynamics, that would be a good one. So the Musical Studies for the Intermediate Snare Drummer by Garwood Whaley is pretty good. And then pretty much this is the last recommendation that I have for if you've got a kid who's wanting a super hard, you know, snare solo. One that I've played is the Fancy Phantom by Marty Hurley. I think I played it in college, but it was part of like the 1987 audition music for Phantom, or that's what it says on the front. So
yeah, I think it's actually show music from the 80s. It was like the previous year's show music that they auditioned with.
So it's a fun one, and it's handwritten, kind of looks like Mitchell Peters ish kind of written out, but it's got some cool like fake stick stuff in it. I think I played it in college. I don't remember I didn't play in high school. So,
the fancy
Phantom. Yeah. You still haven't played Sea Refraction. So
I know that was, that one wasn't on my list, but, there are four total. It's like Fancy Phantom, Phantom of the Field, Phantom Fire and Phantom Frenzy. And they're all spelled with like PH, you know, it's like Phantom Fire is PHIRE. Yeah. Those are really cool. It's not a collection. Unfortunately, you have to buy them all separately, but they're so old now that you could probably go on like Steve Weiss, sponsor us, Steve Weiss, that, you know, you could probably go on there and get them all for like under $20. I would guess.
For sure.
Okay, cool, man. How long we've been talking? A while.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to maybe, I don't know. This is going to have to be a two-part, right?
Yeah. Let's two-part it up.
So do you want to talk about like some intermediate marimba stuff and then quit? And then the next episode we can start with like advanced marimba, and then we'll talk about timpani and maybe like, you know, we talk about couple, drum set or quads or something like that. Triangle.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do a couple of marimba
real
things.
Quick. I wanted to do a plug here. There's a really, guys, like crazy good collection called Seven Progressive Snare Drum Etudes.
Here we go.
And it's written by Remy Thornton.
I thought I was going to say something because I know that you've actually like gotten that all together and stuff. So
yeah, it's not published or anything, but I am looking to publish it. It was a part of my master's project. So it's like there's like a sixth grade solo and a seventh grade solo, you know, and like it's progressive like that. So there's some videos online that Black Swamp helped me with. And so if you want to go look those up, you can, but hopefully I need to add to that because it's like one per age and it really needs to be like three per age. I don't want to just publish, you know, like seven. I'd like to have like 20 or 21. So,
but that's better than publishing just one solo.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, you know,
make it bigger, make it like worth it.
that might be one of the best Serenum solo collections that has ever been written.
I would agree.
I'm just kidding, guys. It's cool though. Like I said, there's videos and I've had a couple of my students play them. Had one play for a college audition last year and played it well. So anyway, I can't make any money off that. It's not even, you can't even get it anywhere right now. Kevin took his headphones off and is going away. He's getting something. He's coming back. What's he doing?
Sorry, I had to grab a book that was in a box. Okay. Let's do some mallet stuff real quick.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. So,
Wow. Just go ahead and talk right over me.
I've got a book here by Chad. I'm assuming it's Heine or Heine.
Heine. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if it's not, I'm going to be disappointed.
It's called Chemical Songs. 8 progressive, 2 mallet solo. So I think a lot of, like, when I think of a mallet solo for a kid in high school or junior high, I generally think of like 4 mallets. Because like that's not that a 2 mallet. I mean, there are plenty of awesome 2 mallet solos that we'll probably talk about probably in the next episode. But because 2 mallets is like, I don't know. Do you kind of see what I'm going for here? It's like a 4 mallet solo is just harder.
Yeah, so I mean,
most of the time, like,
yeah, 2 mallet solos have their place, and I've played one comes to mind, really stinking difficult 2 mallet solos.
Yeah.
But it's just like the medium of marimba solo literature is, it's just like 4 mallet is kind of the expectation and the standard.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of what I was going for.
Like you go do a senior recital, you might play one 2 mallet piece and then everything else is going to be 4, you know?
Yeah. So this book is called Chemical Songs, and it's 8 progressive, 2 mallet solos for keyboard percussion. It comes with a CD-ROM, if you guys remember what those are, and that you can use as an accompaniment if you want. I haven't had any kids ever use it with the accompaniment because I just haven't. But it's got some decent solos in it. The one I use the most is called Rattle. Just kind of very 16th notey, stuff like that. That's kind of groovy. I think it's got, so it's got 8 solos in it. And that's just if you've got an 8th grader that wants a mallet solo, but they don't want to do 4 mallets yet, this is a good book to check out.
Nice. My next one is, it's pretty much the first solo that I will, well, I say that and that's not true because we just talked about last week, middle school. So this is kind of the first, like, you know, intermediate, whatever, like, okay, you've done solo and ensemble in 6th, 7th grade, maybe 8th grade, just kind of depends on how the kid is progressing. Furioso and Valse. I'm sure a lot of people know this piece. It's a 2 mallet piece. Earl Hatch. It's out of a collection, right? It's out of like challenge 2. And there's others in that collection, that are good also, but Furioso is probably like the quote unquote coolest. When kids hear it, they're like, I want to play that. 'Cause it's in D minor and you do this little left, right, little putada thing all the time. And it's got like fast chromatic scales and some diminished harmonies. It's like, and it's in minor, like I said, so kids just like, whoa, that sounds cool because it doesn't sound like a major scale, which is what they hear every stinking day. So kids like it a lot. It's got it's really good, like I said, to sort of build chops because it does have like that left, right constantly. It teaches you how to navigate the keyboard with like chromatic scales really, really well because it uses a lot of that. And then the second part of it, the valse part, is kind of this you kind of get some hand independence where your left hand is playing like a bum, bum, boom, bum, bum. And then your right hand plays a melody over it. So you're getting some limb independence also. It's not just scales and arpeggios. You know, it's a really cool piece. So I would recommend that one as probably the all-star like 2 mallet solo for your intermediate kids.
Yep, I would agree. And if we're kind of going right into kind of continuing, I guess, with two mallet stuff. I would say you could always pick something from the Masterpieces for Marimba book, which is what Oklahoma uses as kind of their all-state, their two mallet all-state stuff. But it's got some, it starts off with some very relatable, the sonatina. Well, they're all called that, but sonatina for piano. And it's just like the bom, ba, ba, bom, bom.
Some of them are sonatas.
I know. But it's got some really good ones in it. And that's, I mean, you obviously can use that to get things, to get them ready for that all-state stuff, because that all-state music is going to be from this book. It's going to have the same topics and ideas, even in their earlier solos. So I would say the first like 4, 5, 6 of them are really good for a good two mallet solo. And then getting later on is when those kids are going to start looking at those etudes for all-state and stuff like that. But that's all a two mallet solo book, and it's pretty good for two mallet stuff.
Yeah. And then the next one, if we're kind of going off of that one as well, it'd be the Fundamental Studies for Mallets, the Garwood Whaley book, which I think we talked about last episode. That would be another one that would kind of branch into like early high school, or if you've got a kid that is like maybe really rudimentally minded, but isn't super great at, just needs like some confidence boosting, you know, needs something to work on. That would be something really good. I also use that a lot of the time for when we do like chair tests in the high school band. I'll just pick, you know, one of those etudes, like a cut from one of those etudes, and like, hey, you got a week to learn this, and a snare drum thing that I picked. You've got a week, and on Friday we're going to have these auditions or whatever, because they're easy to kind of, it's like a perfect test of, can you read something and learn it quickly? It's definitely not super difficult, but again, it's kind of like a, I don't know, would you say it's like a junior Masterpieces for Marimba? It's got a lot of those same like classical melodies.
Yeah, and style.
Little sonata type things.
And those things are like shorter, I think, right?
Some of them are half page. Some of them are most of a page. Are just little good, you know, it might have two phrases or four phrases in it that you can just have a kid learn real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I have for two mallet. Did you have any more two mallet before we move on to maybe some four?
Let me go through here. Not that would go intermediate stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's, and you know, like we said, guys, this is not an exhaustive list. This was what we could muster up, you know, like that we own personally, or the stuff that we give our kids all the time, that, you know, this doesn't mean that these are the only things that are great, great to teach with, or it's just like, you know, in my mind, we were talking earlier, have a progression of things that students go through, and especially four mallet solos. Like, I definitely have a progression of probably like 4 or 5 solos, and you've got to play these in this order before you can go pick your own solo, basically, is how I deal with that with my students. And so it's not an exhaustive list. There's probably some really great literature that we did not put on here that we don't even know about. I'm sure there's stuff that we don't know about. So if you've got, you know, recommendations or whatever, shoot us an email or something with that stuff. If you want one to be featured on the next episode, you can send us an email.
$1 million.
Yeah. Just like, well, like 900,000.
That's fine.
I take it. If you've got some stuff that you think should be on those lists, you should do that. And there are also like some lists online, like a lot of colleges or just percussionists, you know, like that have their own website. A lot of them have some literature lists that you can go and look at. But most of those guys and gals aren't going to have like this beginning type stuff or this intermediate type stuff. It's going to be like what they teach their college students. So that's kind of where we're aiming this, I think, is more towards the the developing percussionist, because that's what we're dealing with most of the time. Anyway, you got anything else to add? We're, like I said, it's obviously going to have to be a two-parter. We'll have to pick it up next time.
Yeah, I think this is a good place to end the first part of this. I like you said, I think I wish I would have had, like, when I was starting teaching 11 years ago, I wish I would have had like a document or a podcast or something that gave me a list of things to use, because it's taken me years to kind of get all this stuff, to just know what's good to play and what my kids like and what works for them. So, but yeah, I am excited to get into the four mallet, some timpani, some high school stuff in part two.
Yeah. And that's where the bulk of the stuff is. I think marimba is like the premier solo instrument for percussion. You know, most people would, when they think of a percussion soloist, that's kind of what they're envisioning. So there's a lot of literature there. So we can just kind of, you know, rattle a bunch of these off next time. So hope you guys have a good rest of your week, or a good week. This comes out on Friday, right? So a good weekend.
Yep, good weekend.
And good luck on all your Christmas concerts. And catch you in the next one.
See you later.